Last night I went to a benefit concert. The idea of a benefit concert, as you know, is that you pay money and you go see a show, and at least part of the money you pay to see the show goes to support a worthy cause. You may feel good about that, but the fact is that you pay the money to see the show, and you expect in return for your money that there will be some kind of entertainment put on for you. So in that sense, going to a benefit concert is not really all that different from any other ticket that you might buy. If you spend money to go to the theater, you expect to see a play. Maybe you are also supporting the nonprofit business corporation that is the entity that puts on the play, but you expect a show. And if you are paying tuition at school, as many of you have done, and some of you are doing, and the rest of you will soon be doing, you expect something in return for that check that you're writing. Yes, you may be supporting a charitable entity called a school or a college or a university, but you expect something for your money, an education, say, or a certificate or a degree or a credential of some kind. We make payments like this pretty much every day of our lives. In some way, they are transactions, pure and simple. We make an exchange of value for value. We pay our money and we expect in return whatever it was we bargained for, entertainment or healthcare or education or groceries or whatever it is we're paying for. Of course, money is not the only form of value that we exchange. We willingly choose to give our obedience to the laws, or our time to the team or the club. Because we believe in doing so, we will receive something that we value in return. We will receive a well-ordered, peaceful, stable society. Or we will receive a sense of association with other people who share our interests in hiking or table tennis or bridge. All of these, whatever they involve, with money or something else, time or effort or self-restraint, all of these are exchanges of value. All of them are transactions. A transaction is giving something in exchange for something else. And we make these transactions every day in a thousand ways, and we bring to them a finely honed capability for calculating a sense of value. We know just what it is we are giving, and we know just what we expect to get in return. Jesus is setting out on a journey, the text tells us. It is not just a trip for a long three-day weekend. When we hear Mark's gospel say those words in the gospel this morning, and as he was setting out on a journey, that is Mark's too subtle way of announcing what in other gospels is the hinge of the whole story. It is the moment that Jesus determines that he is going to Jerusalem. There's something very powerful in the fact that here in Mark's gospel, this key moment in the whole story where the whole arc of Jesus' ministry turns the corner and starts heading to the cross. In this gospel, that whole moment is not even a story about Jesus, but it is instead a story about one of us, about someone who comes running to Jesus, hoping what we hope for, to get right with God. In the Bible, my parents gave me for Christmas many years ago the one with all of the words of Jesus in red type and the helpful subheadings that told you what the following section was about. This little story was called The Rich Young Ruler. I never knew quite why, because if you read the story carefully, nowhere does it ever say that the person is young. But even so, I liked that idea. I liked it because I was young. I wasn't even the ruler of my own bedroom, because my mom kept telling me I had to pick up things and make the bed. But even so, it made me feel as though the story was an example of Jesus dealing with someone like me. What Jesus sees in this man is that his relationship with God is a transactional relationship. He observes all the rules. He is keeping his end of the bargain. He wants eternal life. He wants to be in the right kind of relationship with God, and he wants to think that what that means is the same thing it means to get an education or a basket of goods at the grocery store or the services of a landscaper. He wants it to be a transaction. I observe the rules and you give me eternal life. And the story tells us something profound at this juncture. This is what it says. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. What is that love? What has Jesus seen to bring about this response? Does he see the possibility in that young person? Does he see the tragedy of the approach he is trying to take to a relationship with God? Does he maybe see both? What is that love? Is it pity? Is it hope? In a lot of places today, this old story will be preached as a warning against materialism. It will be preached as a message about the things that we really give our love to that stand in the way of our having the relationship with God that we are meant to have. And the easy way to caricature that is to talk about our love of stuff, our love of the possessions that that rich young man is advised to sell. But of course, some of the things that we possess, some of the most precious things that we possess, are not material. They are things like our commitments to our reputations, or our ambitions, or our social standing, or even to causes that we would readily justify as important and worthwhile. All of us, no matter how poor we may think we are, all of us are wealthy in that way. All of us are wealthy in commitments to things that make up our ideas of ourselves, our identity, the things we claim to be. And what Jesus is teaching that wealthy person is something that he is also setting before all of us in our own wealth. That the problem is the whole idea of approaching our relationship with God as a transaction. This is not supposed to be about our trade of rigid observance of the laws for eternal life with God. It is not about exchanging our good works, our donations of money and time and effort to good causes for God's approval. It is not even supposed to be about trading all the money we would realize from selling all of our stuff for eternal life with God. What Jesus is trying to teach that young man is that his whole approach is wrong, because he's approaching it as a transaction. And what God wants is not a bargain. God has no interest in a transaction. We have nothing of value that God needs. What God wants is not the observance, and it's not the stuff. What God wants is the man. God does not want an exchange. God wants a relationship. The rich young man turns away in dismay because his whole approach to how he wants this deal with God to work ultimately fails to get him what he wants. It's not that he's not willing to sell his stuff. It's not that he's not willing to give up his ideas of wanting eternal life is that he can't quite give up this demand for an arm's length transactional relationship with God. And that isn't what God wants. The whole idea of it fails to grasp at a fundamental level the relationship we actually have with God, whether we like it or not. What God wants is a relationship, not an exchange. God wants all of us. That does not mean that we have to run off to the monasteries and the convents. It means that we have to rethink our whole idea of what our life is, what it means, and realize that we don't get to set the terms of how we will make this relationship work. We are God's, in the possessive sense, not the plural sense. We belong to God. The amazing thing in this whole story is not that God won't deal with us on the terms that we want. The amazing thing is that God wants to deal with us at all. When the Bible tries to describe how we stand in relationship with God, the images that we get to describe us are images like children, or when it's not so good, like sheep, or when it's really not so good, like today, like worms, or chaff, or worse. We really don't expect to have a relationship with things that belong to us to begin with. But that is the offer. That is the opportunity that God extends to us. And to receive that offer, we need to get rid of the idea that we have something to trade for it and accept the idea that what God wants isn't what we have, but who we are. To make that work will take something from you. Not something you can write a check for. Not something you can trade, but something you can only offer, here's the word, by making a sacrifice. A sacrifice of our expectation of a trade. There is nothing we have that God needs or wants. What God does want is a relationship, a real relationship with each and all of us. Amen.